following along this morning will be in Luke chapter 13, verses 10, and going through verse 21. I recently read a funny story that kind of gives us an illustration of our lesson this morning about how we're never quite satisfied in life. Now, Frank and Mabel had been married for 40 years. Frank turned 60 a few months earlier, and they were celebrating Mabel's 60th birthday. During the birthday party, Frank walked into another room, and he was surprised to see his fairy godmother appear before him. She said, "Frank, this is your lucky day. I'm here to grant you just one wish. What would you like?" He thought for a moment and said, "Well, I would really like to have a wife who was 30 years younger than me." The fairy godmother said, "No problem." She waved her wand, and poof, Frank was now 90. Sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for, and like the old saying, he was probably bent out of shape over this one. In a passage of Scripture today, we're going to look at a couple of people who were also bent out of shape. One was a woman who was physically bent out of shape, and the other was a religious or spiritually natured man who was spiritually bent out of shape. One was crippled by a spirit of weakness, and the other was crippled by a spirit of legalism and bitterness. Jesus was able to help one of them, but unfortunately the other stayed bent out of shape. So let's read about him in Luke 13, verses 10 through 21. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmary." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it to water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from which what bound her?" Many of us might be bent out of shape today for a variety of reasons. And if we pay attention to Jesus today, he can set us free and he can straighten us out. Let's consider the woman. She was bent out of shape in verses 10 through 13. Jesus was still trying to reach the Jews. So we find him teaching at a synagogue. And it being the Sabbath, that begins on sunset on Friday. And most synagogues still have services on Friday evening. So this was probably the night that he was talking about. The opposition against Jesus had been growing for some time. And this is the last time in Luke's gospel that we find Jesus in a synagogue. He saw a poor woman who was bent out of shape that she couldn't stand up. Now this is more than just a case of osteoporosis that we might see today when many ladies and some men might be bent over and can't stand up anymore. She had been that way for 18 years. I can just think about her being bent over, not able to look up in the sky, not able to see the stars. All she saw was that old dirty ground and the old dirty feet of those who passed her, not being able to look up. No doubt eating and drinking would have been a problem for her and a struggle as she lived her life. And she probably could only sleep rolled up kind of in the fetal position. This was her life. Now, Luke used some interesting words to diagnose her condition, Luke being a physician. He doesn't use a word that would mean illness, disease, or injury that we might think he would. The Greek word malkia or gnosis. In verse 11, he uses the phrase crippled by a spirit. Then in verse 12, Jesus uses the word infirmary. It is the word asthesma, which doesn't mean sickness caused by disease. It means a weakness. Now, it's hard to know, you know, when he's talking about a spirit and he's talking about weakness, and it doesn't seem to be a physical thing, but she was crippled by weakness. And how many people today that we see around us, their faith is crippled by the weakness in them? It's probably the result of the demonic influence, because Jesus said in verse 16, she had been bound by Satan. Now Satan can bound in many different ways. Back then, they could take over someone and do different things to them, and which was unfortunate. And Jesus and the apostles and those who followed him drove those demons out to show their power over Satan. But she was bound by Satan for all these years. You know, demonic spirits can provoke physical problems, but not every illness or disease is caused by demons. There are 26 recorded miracles where Jesus heals someone of a physical problem, and only 7 of those caused by demonic influences. Demonic spirits can influence a person in many ways. Remember, the term demon possession doesn't appear once in the New Testament. It's simply the word demonized. So, demonized means influenced by the demon. They never use the word demon possession. Jesus cast demons out of so many people, but this encounter was different. First, everywhere where Jesus cast out the demon out of the person, he never touched the person. He simply commanded the demon to depart. In this passage, Jesus touches this woman. A second difference is when demons are cast out, it's always dramatic and a somewhat frightening experience. Like when he drove out the demons into the swine and the swine ran off the cliff to their death. In this case, the woman just simply stands up. A lying spirit had convinced this poor woman that she couldn't stand up. From the language Luke used, it seems she had no physiological cause for her affliction. They didn't label it as just an illness caused by disease. They didn't use those words. But labeled it as a weakness, something caused by a demon. Physicians can testify of the amazing connection between our mind and our body and its ability to help us get well or help us get sick in the same way. And there's no organic way to explain these people's illness other than by their mind. And they're just as sick as someone who has a physical illness. Yet, that's the power of the mind over us. For years, people would say, stand up, and this woman couldn't. Look up. I can't, she said. Lift up your eyes, and she would say, I can't. I just can't stand up. You know, some of us have a good case of the can't sometimes. Someone says, stop doing that, or do this, or something like that, and we say we can't. Sometimes we get a good case of the can't. Our need for Jesus to deliver us from the I can't today. We need him to deliver us from that. Have you ever seen a circus elephant tied to a small wooden stake outside of a circus tent? You know the power of an elephant, that they just could have ripped that little stake out of that ground and wandered off wherever they wanted to. But what they do is, when they're very young and when they train them, they drive a stake deep into the ground. And these little elephants, they can't get away from that stake. They can't pull it out. And they experience some pain against that shackle that causes that. And they never forget that. And when they grow up, you can have a small little stake in there. Just enough that when it tightens up, that elephant knows there's a bad experience coming from that. And that elephant is affected by that. One of the devil's greatest tools is to try to erect a stronghold in each and every one of our minds, and to make us think that we can't do something that God wants us to do. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. Like the elephant, there's a foothold on. But don't let a foothold come from the devil. If you give the devil an inch, he goes on, he'll not only take a mile, he'll take your smile, and he'll rob you of your joy and your Christianity. Meanwhile, back at the synagogue, where Jesus is confronting them, notice the steps that Jesus follows to deliver this woman. First, he looks at her, and then he calls her. You can almost imagine Jesus looking down and bending down, looking at her in the face, facing her and getting down on her level. Jesus meets us where we are in life. He'll come down and look us straight in the face and help us in that time of need. He looks into her hopeful eyes. He smiles and says, "You are free from your infirmary." She is still bent over, so Jesus reaches out and touches her. And in verse 13, immediately she straightened up and praised God. It didn't take her any time, like that one leper who went to praise God out of the 10 that would heal. She stood up and she praised God with all her voice. I don't know what she said or sang at that time. It just says she started praising. Maybe she sung, "Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me." It was great sermons in those hymns that we sing, and you know, sometimes we kind of just automatically sing them. But we don't think of the great messages that are in there. But these are the things that Jesus does for us. He lifts us like He lifted that woman. He takes the kinks of our lives and turns them into the coulds. And that's a lesson for us. When Jesus touches you, truly touches you, you'll stand up and praise God. You may feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you may feel that it's doubled you over like this poor soul here. You feel bent out of shape because of the burdens you have to carry. Worry and anxiety can bend you over. It can make you hurt. Heartache, pain, frustration, and suffering can just do that to us. Some of you have lost jobs, you've been hurt, abused, rejected, and it seems that you can't look up anymore sometimes. You may be trapped in some sin or carrying around some deep, dark secret, and you feel bent out of shape. You don't feel right. People say, "Just look up," and you reply, "I can't." They say, "Just shake it off," and you say, "I can't." There's someone that can straighten you out. And I don't mean in the harsh way. Sometimes we say we're going to go out there and straighten them out. But Jesus, in His love and gentle kindness, comes and straightens us out like He did to that woman there. Jesus wants to do the same for us as He did for that woman. First, He sees you and He knows your pain. He gets down on your level. You can hide your pain from others with a smile, but you can't hide your pain from Jesus. You can't hide anything from God. People think they can, but God is always there and He's always seeing. And we can't hide what hurts us from Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are laboring and who are bent over, and I will care and I will give you rest." I kind of threw "bent over" in there, but it means the same thing. Those who are heavy laden and bent over. Next, He speaks to you to let you know that you can be set free from your weakness. But best of all, He touches you. He touches your heart. He touches your mind with the gospel, with the word, with the act of love that He committed for us and His sacrifice. Every time you encounter Jesus in worship, He touches. Here's His word for you. "Straighten up whatever burdens you, I will lift it off of you, and I will take it out." Now the poor woman was not only the crippled person that day. We also see the other crippled person, and that's religious rule in verses 14 through 16. "And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, 'There are 6 days in which work shall be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day.'" You know what He's asking here? He's telling her, suffer for one more day. That's the kind of sympathy He has for her. Zero. Jesus straight away healed this woman. But this man, because of the law of Moses, says she's got to wait another day. But Jesus had a response to that. "But then the Lord answered him and said, 'You hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him?'" Jesus is saying here, you do work. You do something. Now they have all these rules and everything like that. Some of you might know this, but the one button dialing on a phone was invented by someone so that they would not have to violate working on the Sabbath. You could not punch all the digits. That was work. One digit was not work. See how the rules start coming out. And a rule for this and a rule for that. And, you know, you can start finding rules around and stuff. There's a controversy I've seen on the news just the other day. And there is a tiny rope that surrounds some cities all around the power lines. And within that rope, it's a, I forget what it's called, I didn't really catch all of it, but write it down. But within there, a Jewish person can do work. They can't outside that rope. So it's amazing all the rules that man can come up with and how many they have. When Jesus freed us from all that law, all those rules, all those things that man burdens other men with, he released us from that, and through faith, he came and saved us. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves, but only through Jesus can we be saved by obedience to him and serving him. But they would make these rules and make this and that. You know, we're left up. We're told to help. Not exactly, but, you know, we find a way to help. And that's okay. We're not told how many songs to sing. We're not told do this on this certain day. We follow the pattern and we kind of adopt how many songs we sing and what order and everything and when the Lord's Supper is taken. That's all left to us. Because these things are not the law. These things set us free from that. And Jesus came to set us free. He came to set this man free from his burden that he had. He didn't obey him, but Jesus tried. This woman believed and she stood up straight away. Those who have been set free by Jesus are under constant scrutiny by those who would legalists who are ready to condemn anyone who has joined Christ. And there are many people today, they're just not going to have that kind of joy. You know, it happened about 3,000 years ago in 2 Samuel 6. There's an interesting story about King David. The Ark of God had been out of Jerusalem for a long time, and finally David arranged to have it brought back to the city of Jerusalem. As the priests were carrying the Ark into the city, David got so excited that the Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might. Could you imagine what a sight that would be to see? Well, someone got upset. One of his wives, Michal, saw him and despised his behavior. She got all bent out of shape. She mocked him, and in words dripping with sarcasm, she accused him of being undignified. I love David's reply. He didn't let her rob him of his joy. He just said, "I will celebrate before the Lord and become even more undignified, because my dignity is not as important as celebrating the goodness of God." So, God's laws aren't here to tie us down, but to set us free, so that we can have joy in our soul, so that we're not living under law, but living underneath the grace of God. That we experience our faith, that we grow our faith, not because the law says so, not because some law says read this chapter this day and that chapter the next day, read this commentary this day and read that the next day. That's left to us, that the joy in our lives and the faith in our lives causes us to experience God each and every day in the words here. To experience God, to experience His song, His laughter, all the things we can experience in Him. You may not be bent out of shape like this crippled woman today, but are you bent out of shape like the man crippled by all the legalism and rules he had? Jesus wants to set us free today. You know, the word bent can be used as an adverb, and it's to have a strong inclination or disposition. In verse 17 of our text, we read, "And he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated. An entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him." We can be inclined to enjoy the God's kingdom. We can be inclined to take that in our hearts and live that with joy each and every day. His kingdom starts small and grows large like the mustard seed. Where all the birds of the field came and found a home. Or like even the illustration of the yeast. Of how that little bit of yeast gets into there and permeates the whole loaf and makes it rise. And it's such a beautiful metaphor in that story that I see. That just a little bit of joy can make the whole church rise up and be joyous. And just a little bit of joy in our lives causes that. It's contagious. You ever known a person, they're the life of the party. When they come in, the room lights up, they say. And that's generally the person that comes through and they're just full of joy. Nothing in life gets them down and everybody wishes they could be that same way. But he comes in, he's joking, he's complimentary, he's happy, nothing's bothering him or her in that case. And it's infectious. And the whole crowd could go from just quiet mumbling and small talk to being loud and laughter and having a good time and enjoying themselves. That's what a little bit of joy can lift us up. It can get us out of that bent up shape. It can act as a catalyst to lift us. In conclusion this morning, whatever is broken in your life, Jesus can fix it. If you've been out of shape by suffering, Jesus sees you and calls you out of that suffering. He came to set you free from bondage. And when He touches you, you'll truly never be the same again. I hope that's how you feel in your life today. But if you have need of the church or have some reason to come forward, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?